And joining us on the reverse stick, direct from Breda in the Netherlands, co-host of Not the Footy Show, Ashley Morrison. How are you, Ashley?
I'm very well, thanks very much, John.
Now, you're there at the Champions Trophy. There's another tournament going on at the same time. We'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, can you set the scene for everybody? How is the city? How's the tournament set up and the crowds, etc.?
Oh, look, it's been really good. I mean, it's not the biggest of cities, Breda, but it is a very pretty city. And they love their hockey here. And because the Netherlands is not the largest country, it's pretty easy for people to actually get here to watch the hockey. And some people have been traveling, you know, a good hour, hour and a half to come and take in the games. The Breda Hockey and Bandy Club have set up a fantastic thing. Like one of the pitches, they've completely covered it. And they've got like an entertainment village with bars, equipment shops, everything there. And that's kind of really buzzing in between the games. And I saw a drone shot of what it was like before they set it all up. And they were saying they started planning in October last year, and then they started setting everything up around April. And again, the VIP area, that's on another pitch as well. And then the players are actually warming up on one of the other pitches. So you can just hear how many pitches they've actually got here. And then there's the main pitch. The disappointing thing is, obviously, and we were actually having a discussion about this today, because the new CEO of the FIH is disappointed that the camera is shooting into a smaller stand, which isn't always full, because that's actually the stand for the VIPs, whereas the other stand, which is on the same side as the camera, is jam-packed every day. You know, there's absolutely hardly any seats available. But, of course, the problem is when they set up the stand, there's not that much coordination going on between the sort of TV stations and the people with the stadium. TV obviously has to shoot with the sun behind it, so that otherwise it would be a disaster. So I think you're going to see that will change in the angles of the shots. But it's been really brilliant. It's been well put together. Huge support for the Dutch. There's a lot of support for India and also Pakistan, but smatterings of Australians, but not that much.
Well, let's get to the games. First up, India and Pakistan to open the tournament on the first day. Netherlands, Argentina, Australia, Belgium. Probably the Argentina-Netherlands game is the most surprising result there.
Yeah, I think it was, but at the same time, Netherlands squandered opportunities in the first half, and I remember I was actually commentating that game, and you just felt that there was something was going to go awry because they just weren't taking that. And Argentina are just that sort of side that they've just go up on one attack, will win either a penalty corner or they'll get a goal, but in the last minute for Paredes to just tap it home. Max Calder said he wasn't unhappy because he was happy with the way teams play, but I'm sorry, I don't believe that one.
Okay. He'd certainly be happy about their second turnout, though.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, they played really well. And they played really well again yesterday against Pakistan. Pakistan are not the walkover everyone thought they were going to be. Roland Altmans has come in, and you've got to take your hat off to him. He's got them really organised, but the problem is, I don't think their levels of fitness are matching the other teams in this tournament yet. They're working on them, and I was talking to the Australian who's their fitness and conditioning coach, and he was saying that he's managed to sort of halve their body fat from where they were when he took over. So he's done well on that, but they're still not fit enough. And if you talk to some of the Pakistanis, they were just saying, you know, they don't really have a domestic competition. The players are playing for peanuts up there, and they're really playing for passion, but they want to learn from Roland Altman's. And you can see that in the way they've approached the games. But I think some of it is they're not used to playing the way he is. And as they get tired, their concentration goes. Or if they then try and attack, they're just kind of losing their shape a bit. The sad thing for me is, and I know you guys have watched a lot of hockey, Pakistan always used to be a brilliant side when they went forward and when they attacked. And they'd attack at pace. What is sad is they just don't seem to have any forwards. Their forwards are just devoid of imagination, very slow in movement, and that you feel at the moment is an area that they're going to have to look at. But I think Roland Altmas is just trying to shore up the defence first.
The team everybody's talking about, Ashley, is India. They started with a 4-0 win, and the next game, they
2-1 win.
2-1 win. Yeah. They're playing the Australians a bit later on today. This will be a big litmus test for them.
This is going to be a really, really big game, because if you look at the way the competition's panning out, if India win this, they've got one foot in the final. They are very, very close to assuring themselves of playing in the final on Sunday. Now, India have never won the Champions Trophy. The closest they got was 2 years ago in London when they won the silver medal. So it would be a big, big step. Of course, the other side is, you know, Harendra Singh has just taken over. This is his first tournament back in charge of India. It's his fourth time in charge, mind you. But, I mean, Harendra is real flavour of the month, having won the Junior World Cup. And the thing that you notice around the hotel, because they're at the same hotel as me, is they're a really happy bunch. I mean, Manpreet has injured his foot, but again, they were lucky that they had the 2 days off because he's obviously been given a little bit longer time to recover. Ramadeep has actually flown home today. He has a problem with his ACL. It's not snapped or torn or anything like that, but apparently there's something rubbing against it, which is causing inflammation. So he's gone home for more sort of exploratory tests when he gets back to India. So they're going to be a man down, but they have been playing exceptionally well. And when you look at their defense again, which has been rock solid, they only they didn't concede against Pakistan, and they conceded one against Argentina. And this is predominantly Harendra's World Cup, Junior World Cup winning defense. There's only Burindra Lakhra who's coming in there, who's of any sort of decent age or experience. So it shows that the Hockey India League, to me, really was a fantastic idea. It brought through a lot of young, talented players. And you just wonder where the next generation behind this lot now is going to come from, because there is no Hockey India League at the moment.
We noted in last week's show that was the youngest average age was the Indian squad. And the last game against the Argies, that's the oldest squad in the competition. Do you think age has a bearing on it?
I think there is a slight bearing on it. You know, when you're young, you believe anything is possible. And the great thing with Harendra, having put all these young guys in there, and I think he's a brilliant man manager. I'm not sure whether he's, you know, a top-class coach, but he certainly knows how to get the best out of the players around him. And if you look at his records, you've sort of maybe my comments a bit unfair, because he has had success at international tournaments and domestic tournaments as a coach. But I just think the thing that's the key for me is how he manages to gel a team together and make them believe in themselves. And, I mean, he's been saying here all along, nothing is impossible. And that's been kind of like their mantra throughout this tournament. And if you see them, they're a really happy bunch of guys around the place. And they, you know, when you're happy, you tend to play better.
One thing we can't let slide by, and I know that we all have mixed feelings about it, but Sardar Singh, 300 games, he's got to be given credit for that.
Absolutely, and to be honest, you know, I thought we'd seen the last of Sardar.
Yeah,
I don't think he's the player he was, but then saying that, he is playing a very good role in this team at the moment up here. He's not trying to run with the ball. He's playing very sort of reserved, but I suppose thoughtful hockey is probably the best way to put it. And he's playing a really key role in the game. Now, I know he wants to play in the Asia Games and he wants to go to the World Cup. And I think you have to also look back, and it was Harendra that was the first coach to pick him for international honours when he picked him for a junior tour of Europe and he played against Poland. So there is a link between Sardar and also Harendra. And I think Sardar respects Harendra because of that opportunity he gave him. And he's fulfilling the role that Harendra is asking him to do in this tournament so far in the opening two games really well. I think today he will be tested more by the Australians, who know Sardar's strengths and they also know his weaknesses, probably a little bit better than the European sides.
Oh, look, and in some ways, 300 is the new 100. When I was a kid, a guy that had got to 100 games had given a long and dedicated international career, and that's what 300 means now. And I think we should at least acknowledge that he has been a very good player over a long period of time, a real long period.
Well, I think just to put that in perspective, because I was doing my prep for today, so the first opponent Australia ever played apart from New Zealand was India. Now, Australia played their first test match in 1922 against New Zealand. They played the first test match against India in 1935, so 13 years later, and that was only their ninth test match. So
wow.
I think it shows you exactly what you're saying is 100% correct.
And I reckon he'll be fired up. There is a great rivalry between India and Australia. I think that game today will be a cracker.
It should be as well. And of course, today's game will see Eddie Ockenden move into second place in the most capped players for Australia.
Just before we move on, you did mention that you're staying in the same hotel as the Indians. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Can you apologise to Trajesh that? Yeah, can you apologise to him from me for not being able to pronounce his name correctly? I'll just call him PR from now on.
All right, just call him the Wall of India. That's what he's known as amongst the team, so I'm sure he'd be happy with that one.
He's made a few good saves.
He has. He's when you can see he's been out for a while. I thought he was a bit underdone in the Commonwealth Games, and, you know, was he at fault for the loss in the semi-final? Certainly it wasn't one of his better games, but he certainly looks on his mettle again up here in Breda.
Any pizza shops close to the hotel there, Ash?
No, there aren't, actually. We're in the middle of nowhere. The closest thing to us is the stadium.
It doesn't matter. England didn't qualify anyway.
15-minute walk.
So it's a gentle stroll for you to get down there.
It's a lovely stroll. I'm actually loving it. Most of the people are hopping on a bicycle, but I sort of think it's much nicer to just have a nice leisurely stroll to the stadium. Although one of the security guards did stop the other commentator the other night when he tried to walk back and told him he wasn't allowed to. He had to come on a bus.
Right.
Now, one thing that did befuddle me a little bit about this particular tournament, Ash, is that there's another tournament going on at the same time that really has nothing to do with it and is just...
And same place.
At the same venue at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. They've got a Four Nations women's tournament, and China, Japan, Spain and the Netherlands all playing in that. That started yesterday. And, of course, those four teams are all going to be playing in the Women's World Cup. And I think they're using this as the last hit out before the Women's World Cup. And they're going to then select their final squads based on performances at this tournament. But, yeah, it was... I mean, the thing everyone's talking about is China. I mean, they got beaten by Japan yesterday in the opening game. And they did not look like a Chinese team of old. And so people are still going, wow, China are kind of slipping down the rankings a little bit. But I think we'll still have to wait and see, because I was talking to a few of the people involved with China, and they were saying there will be changes from this squad to the one that goes to London. They've got four or five players that they're going to bring in who will be heading over to London for the World Cup. So I think it'll be a different squad, and obviously they're just trying to see how certain combinations are going to work here, and I don't think they're going to show all their cards at once.
Have they still been picking squads based on the national champion as they did in the past? Okay.
Yes, I mean, it was always going to be interesting to see Jamie Moulders go over there, and, you know, we've talked a lot about, we would expect a rise up the rankings for them. It's interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the sort of conversation points is he going to last his contract out? Because it just looked as if he was getting a bit frustrated yesterday. Also that, you know, are the players getting the message that he's trying to convey? I think it would be extremely difficult, though, you know, trying to coach a team where you have to have a translator interpret what you've said. I mean, how sure are you that they've actually conveyed the message that you're trying to get across in that translation? So it would be very, very difficult. But look, let's just wait and see. I think the proof will be at the World Cup, and I'm sure there'll be a very different side then.
Now, we also seeing good crowds for that Four Nations tournament.
Yeah, yesterday it was kind of not quite as big. They played the Japan-China game was first, and then the Netherlands-Spain second. And as you can imagine, Netherlands-Spain had a far bigger turnout for that game, and also I think because it was later in the day, so the crowds are getting bigger as the evening progresses, because obviously people are at work and then they're making their way from work. But last night for the men's game, which was the last game at a very late 8 o'clock, was a really packed house and a really entertaining and, you know, vibrant crowd.
So the game you're doing today, that's India Australia. That's a 3 o'clock game. That seems quite early in the day for a midweek game. Is there a view towards Indian TV, Australian TV for that game?
I think it's obviously the TV will play some part, but I think it's because the women are going to be playing after the men today, so they're just trying to work out how they're going to play three games back to back, and I think the decision must have been made that this would be 3 o'clock, probably for TV, I would think, in Australia and in India, that it's at a better viewing time than it would be if they were the later games.
I must admit, I'm really disappointed that they couldn't allow the Champions Trophy to stand alone. And if there was going to be a concurrent women's tournament, it should have been the Women's Champions Trophy.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, I'm not privy to how these decisions are made or who makes them, but that's a feeling that's been shared by quite a few people here, John. So you're not alone on that one. And certainly, again, talking to the coaching staff, what they don't like is the fact that we are seeing these games split. So, you know, Australia now have had 2 days recovery since their last game, but then they're going to have to play back-to-back again, and then they'll play two games back-to-back on the weekend, whereas I think it's the Dutch get a day of rest. So it's, you know, I don't think it's right. I think if you're going to have these tournaments, you know, everybody's got to be as fair as you can in terms of days off rather than it favouring some teams as they go into crucial games.
Now, we know you've got to get on the bus soon to get out to the stadium to call a big game today. I've got one more for you. When you first arrived at this tournament, you were attending a funeral. Have you heard any whispers that it might in fact be turning into a baptism and be born again?
Yeah, look, I have heard that, but I was told that before I got here that was going to be the case, but there's been no announcement as yet. And I don't know if you've been sort of sharp-eyed. I haven't actually said in commentary as yet that this will be the last Champions Trophy, because I'm hearing whispers that it may be reborn, but I don't want to say it and look a fool, so we'll wait for an official announcement. But at the moment, nobody's giving us any information.
I'd like to think they'd keep it going. It's a great tournament.
I agree. And I mean, Jamie Dwyer wrote an article over here in the Netherlands, you know, just before he sort of headed home. And he was saying that as far as he was concerned, it was one of the best tournaments they played in, because you were always pitting yourselves against the best teams in the world. And there was certainly never an easy game. So to win it and, you know, lift the Champions Trophy was a real feather in your cap as a team.
We're just past the halfway stage, or thereabouts. Give us your call for the top two, Ash.
Yeah, we'll hold you to it as well.
It's, you know what, we've been trying to discuss this one ourselves and just trying to work out who we think it'll be. And it's very, very difficult to call. I mean, Bobby Crutchley was saying in commentary last night, you know, he got with England, they got into the final a few years back, and they'd only got 1 point after their opening three games. And then all the results went their way and they qualified for the final on 7 points by winning just those last two games. So you think, I thought pre-tournament Belgium were the favourites. They've not played well. They're struggling now and they're going to have to win their last two games against India and Pakistan to have any hope of getting there. I think India are going to be in the final. Who's going to be there with them? If I follow my head at the moment, I would say that I think the Netherlands, because Australia have not been playing that well. But I think today is the key game. If Australia win this game, then it could well be Australia-Netherlands or Australia-India. If Australia lose today, then I think we'll see an India and Netherlands final.
Look, Ash, thanks for joining us tonight. We know you've got to get on the bus and we've got to catch a flight to Singapore so we can watch your commentary tonight. Thanks for joining us.
As I told you, I'm walking.
You're walking. I'm sorry, I'm not used to hear you say that. It's just a bit strange to my ears.
We might get you signed up for walking hockey when you get back, Ash.
I think I'm too slow for that, even.
Thanks for your time, Ash. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon. And good luck for the rest of the tournament. And I know you will enjoy the hockey.
Cheers, Ash.
Cheers, then.